the Hawk and Doc, Thump and Bump, Jaminski, Derek Smith, they come up because people just love those teams. What do you think about that group resonated with this city?
Johnny, you can answer that.
Well, I think they kind of epitomized what the city stood for. As you just mentioned, you had some big personalities. I think the style of play reflected Philadelphia. I mean, it was a blue-collar type team. Guys worked hard. I think people appreciated that. And, you know, the team was all about just winning and all about representing Philly the way that Philly deserved to be represented.
Hersey, I got to tell you, I knew you were a scorer and I knew you could, like, shoot lights out. I had no idea that your final year at Bradley, you averaged better than 36 points a game. Maybe because you were so humble in your way. But when I see, like, a horse tournament coming up tomorrow on ESPN, I say to myself, I'll put my money on Hersey even if he played today.
Hey, well, unfortunately, D, you will probably lose that bet because I really don't shoot much. But there actually is a horse game they have going on tomorrow. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, there's eight total, present and past, and also NBA and WNBA. And so it's kind of like a bracket. And so you'll have two people who play each other virtually. So some, and you're not allowed to dunk. So I actually am going to, I say to people, I'm more interested in seeing that than I am watching people play 2K. That doesn't really do it for me, but I will tune in to see this horse competition.
Yeah, I guess anything live or anything that gives us some kind of semblance of maybe getting back to normalcy and not watching replays of 1989 finals or whatever, you know, is a relief. So I may actually watch myself.
Yes, absolutely. Johnny, let me ask you, because Mo Cheeks was obviously part of the championship team and you are traded for, or you come here when they trade him. What was that like for you, just knowing who he was and what he had meant to this city?
Well, you know, I had a lot of respect for, you know, Mo, of course, like everyone. I followed the Sixers run as a younger player. And so I was, you know, very familiar with who he was and what he meant to Philadelphia. Being traded for him, you know, the first thing that popped in my mind, I thought it may be a difficult transition because, I mean, you lose a player like that and you bring someone in, it's hard to replace a player of his caliber. And so I didn't know how it would be accepted in the city of Philadelphia. But, like I said, my respect for him was that of the utmost. He was a great, not just a great player, he was an unbelievable person. So I was excited. I was looking forward to being a part of the team in Philadelphia after my transition from the Spurs. And I was wanted to make the most of it. But like I said, I realized the magnitude of what was going on. And I was just hoping to perform well enough to earn the city's respect.
Hersey, you and Johnny both are kind of, I'm going to say, low-key. But you played with some really strong personalities in Charles, Mahorn. Even Minute, I thought, was an interesting character. Who was the craziest of your teammates of that roster back then?
Oh, gosh. Who was the craziest? I would have to maybe a tie between Minute and Rick Mahorn when he was on the team.
Sure.
It was. I think Johnny mentioned early just a team of big dynamic personalities, but for some reason all of it just seemed to mesh together, and you know it was craziness, but it was the fun kind of craziness. I've often told people that. You know, I went to Seattle and, you know, we won more and I, you know, went to Charlotte and, you know, won games. But by far the most enjoyable time I ever had playing with a group of guys that just enjoyed each other and got along well was that time in Philly when, you know, playing with JD and Charles and Rick and Manu and Derek, you know, and Scotty Brooks. It was just a great bunch.
It was a great bunch. I know. That's why I liked it. And you had good nicknames like Hawk and Doc. Why do you think the two of you, or Johnny, maybe what did you try to do to bring out the best in your teammates running that group offensively?
Well, for me, it was my first year there. And so I was really trying to just be the best in my role I could be. And and with her, she just mentioned earlier about the personalities, as you mentioned too, D. I think everybody kind of embraced their role. You know what I mean? I think when you have success like we had that year, it's because everybody, you know, wanted to be a star in their role. You know, there was no overlap, someone trying to do someone else's job. You know, everybody had, you know, value at what they did and took pride in what they did. And I think that was the biggest, I think difference between a lot of the teams that won really, you know, well and teams that hadn't is that our guys going to embrace their roles. And that team right there epitomized guys being, you know, satisfied with who they were and just being as good as they could be in that situation. And Percy said, I think we became great teammates and friends because of that, because everyone understood their value and played to their strengths.
Did both of you know when your playing days were over that you would want to stay somehow, some way in basketball?
I did not. When I got done, the only thing I was thinking about was getting away from the game for a while, because, you know, it's such a mental and physical grind for so many years that the one thing I thought about was just relaxing, spending time with the family and then just enjoying life. But then you realize that, hey, you need something to do and you're still a young man, and you go back to what you do best, and being around basketball and teaching and just being around an organization was something that, of course, that I then wanted to do.
And now you're still with the Blazers, correct?
I am, yes, I'm still with the Blazers.
And what do you do? I say it's in player development, but it's not necessarily on the court. Describe what you're trying to help them do.
Yeah, my job pretty much is, you know, when we draft a player or trade for a player or whatever, then my job begins, and that's sort of just helping them, navigate personal life.
Yeah, being a professional.
With professional, with
yes.
Basketball, and, you know, sort of just helping them do whatever they can off the court to make it easier for them to perform on the court. You know, we don't want distractions with things off the court, so I try to help them handle things that come up. You know, and the lovely thing about my job, you have 15 different players, 15 individuals that have different problems, that have different circumstances, and, you know, I deal with their wives and their families, their agents, so I have to get to know everyone in their inner circle so we can then, you know, get the best out of them on the court.
And Johnny, you're coaching down there at University of Central Florida. Are you still enjoying being on the sidelines?
You know, I do. You know, I love coaching. As Hershey mentioned, I didn't know this is where I would end up. Like he said, when you finish playing, you're looking to transition usually out of the profession, even though it's something you've done all your life. And I went a roundabout way to get into the profession. I knew I wanted to mentor young people. I knew I wanted to continue to educate them. I didn't know I was going to do it in this capacity. You know, I thought I wanted to be more of an athletic director. And so I was actually taking that route. I was in a management program at Duke studying that. And just so happened, about 6 months into that program, Coach, you know, called me into his office and started talking to me about coaching, because he had a young man transition out to a head coaching job. So, of course, I was so happy he thought about me and gave me the opportunity. And I'm so happy he did, because, you know, he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself by giving me that opportunity to mentor young people from this type of position. So, like Hershey, I didn't think I would be in this same situation, but I am. I love it. That day I don't wake up excited about what I do, because I know I'm helping young people that was like myself and Hershey. I get a chance to bring them along and mentor them. So it's been a wonderful experience.
What has it been like for both of you? Because obviously the college season was completely shut down. No March Madness. The NBA season, we don't know, Hershey, what will come of it, if it will pick up or if it ends up being, you know, called off completely. But what has it been like to be in this time? Because it's for all of us, no matter what job we have, these are strange times to be in. So what's it been like for each of you?
Some days, you know, frustrating, but, you know, I guess I'm just trying to look at it as positively as I possibly can. Being able to spend a little more time with my wife and my kids, and the only I did want to do a project around the house. But my wife vetoed it because she said, I probably will break something or cause more problems. So other than that, you know, it's been, you know, some days difficult, but overall, you know, not that bad.
Not that bad. How about for you, Johnny? Because I assume that school, everybody left, right? Had to go home?
You know, everyone had to go home. I've tried to maintain my same schedule. I'm a creature of scheduling anyway, so I tried to stay consistent with it. So my day pretty much is very similar. The only thing is, you know, I'm working from the home, but, you know, with being able to recruit on the phone and on Zoom and that kind of situation, that keeps me really busy. Staying up with my players, Zooming with them, you know, reaching out, FaceTiming and calling my players, you know, continually having staff meetings over the phone and on, you know, FaceTiming. It's kept me pretty much in my routine. So that part's been good. As Hershey mentioned, the family, we have several of our boys back. So that's been good. You know, it kind of reminds me of when we were younger, where you pretty much had outside, and then when you're in the house, you're with your family. So I think, you know, reuniting with them and everybody not being so busy that we're around each other quite a bit in the home has been, you know, really good. You know, I've enjoyed that time, you know, or, you know, regaining that time. It's something that I think we all as families, we miss. You know, I think life has gotten so fast for everybody. That's the way society goes now, that this has kind of, I think, caused everyone to kind of pause and realize just how, you know, how wonderful and how important family is, because you're back in that house together now on a, you know, on a, like I said, with much more time, you know, with each other. So it's been good. And I think I have been productive. I hadn't tried any home projects like Hershey's tried to pull off. But I have, you know, been able to, you know, I think be as productive as we can, you know, considering the circumstances.
It's so funny you bring up the family time, because when I grew up, my mom cooked dinner and we all sat down at the table together. And I mean, obviously, if my dad was coaching and had a game, he wasn't necessarily there, but me, my brother, my sister, and my mom every night. And I don't remember the last time before this all happened that I did that with my own kids and my husband. And we've had a blast trying to think of different things to cook or to do as, you know, a dinner each day. So that's a great point that both of you brought up. All right, before I let you go, who each of you enjoyed going up against NBA-wise the most in your career? Like, who do you remember having, like, it was a good competition, but you enjoyed playing against?
Johnny, you go first.
Well, that's a great question. You know, it's hard for me to identify one player I felt that way about. The guy that I probably had the most battles with throughout my career, because it started in college, you know, at the guard spot, we came in as rookies together in college and went all the way through our pro career for the most part, would be for me probably Mark Price.
Wow.
Probably one of the most challenging players that I ever, you know, had to go against, because it started so long. He and I were, you know, rivals, you know, from our freshman year in 1982 in college all the way through our pro, you know, career. And so I would say, for me, you know, looking forward to that battle, knowing it was always going to be a hard-fought game against him, how we would go at each other, probably would be the opponent that that stands out the most to me.
And how about for you, Hurst?
For me, I think there were two guys that I enjoyed playing with, against rather. And I think for some of the same reasons Johnny said, Mitch Richmond was one.
Wow.
You know, because we were, you know, not only were we in the same draft and, you know, we were friends, but it was the fact that I always thought he was underrated in all of the skills, his scoring and quickness and everything. So we would always just have a great time battling one another. And Michael Jordan, you know,
sure.
And for the obvious reasons, because he was the best. And I think you always measured yourself and you always wanted to see how you compared against the best. And, you know, and that's what I did every time I tried to face him, to see how well I could perform against him.
Oh, those are good times. I appreciate both of you hopping on with me. I hope you and your families stay safe, and thanks for going down memory lane for me.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for reaching out.
Absolutely. And I'll tell my dad. Hopefully he was listening. I told him you were coming on. So hopefully he...
absolutely.
I'm going to see where he would rank the Hawk and Doc backcourt. I got to think it's up at the top as a backcourt that he got to coach.
I hope so.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And
so
look, have a happy Easter.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You do the same. Hawk and Doc joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.